முண்டகோபனிஷதி திருத்தீய முண்டக்கே பிரதமஹா கண்டஹா. இன் தேர்ட் முண்டகா, த தேர்ட் சாப்டர், we have to enter into the first section, பிரதமஹா கண்டஹா. Let us read the mantra first. Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakhaya. Completely the words are Vedic, the Vedic usages. So better we understand the words also correctly. Dvasuparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham parishasva jate. Sachin, just text few the boys. Dvasuparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham parishasva jate. தயோரன்யப்பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகசீதி த்வாஸ்ஸுபர்ணா சயுஜா சகாயா சமானம் விருக்ஷம் பரிஷஸ்வஜாதே தயோரன்யப்பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகசீதி தயோரன்யப்பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகசீதி. So in this verse also in the next verse, சமானே விருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ சமானே விருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானிதி அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி வீதசோகஹ சமானே விருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானம் இதி வீதசோகஹ சமானே விருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி வீதசோகஹ த்வாஸ்ஸுபர்ணா சயுஜா சகாயா சமானம் விருக்ஷம் பரிஷஸ்வ ஜாதே தயோரன்யப் பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னன்னன்யோ அபிசாகசீதி சமானே விருக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னஹ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி ஸ்வீதசோகஹ. Let us do one more mantra also. Yada pashyati, all three verses together give the same, we have continuity. Yada pashyaf pashyate rukma varnam. Yada pashyaf pashyate rukma varnam. Kartaramisham purusham brahmayonim. Kartaramisham purusham brahmayonim. ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி யதா பஷ்ய பஷ்யதே ருக்ம வர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமீஷம் புருஷம் பிரம்மயோனிம் தா வித்வான் புண்ணிய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி யதா பஷ்ய பஷ்யதே ருக்ம வர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமீஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்ம யோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ணிய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி யதா பஷ்ய பஷ்யதே ருக்ம வர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமீஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்ம யோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ணிய பாபே விதோய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி. சோ நோ வி ஹவ் ரெட் த்ரீ மந்த்ராஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் செக்ஷன் ஆஃப் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் செக்ஷன் ஆஃப் தி தேர்ட் சாப்டர் திருத்திய முண்டகம். All these three mantras are very significant mantras, and these mantras significant that often even taken as quotations, used as quotations by Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada. Even other Mahatmas quote these mantras quite often. Why? Because these mantras present a very profound teaching. The first three mantras present a very profound teaching, and they're very significant that even they're quoted by Mahatmas quite often. And these mantras, of course, the subject matter, the content of these mantras is nothing but the knowledge and its benefit. Knowledge forms the content of these mantras and also the benefit of knowledge. These mantras present the subject matter of knowledge and its benefit through an imagery. An imagery given here is of a bird. In fact, two birds are taken here as imagery, are used for imagery. So two birds are used as examples. So if we have to understand the actual teaching presented by these three verses, it is very important for us to remember the basic teaching of Vedanta. In fact, all the basic technical terms, basic lessons of Vedantic teaching taught in my introduction to Vedanta classes, especially when I taught Tattvabodha text also, I taught you many things. Hope you all remember those things. So who is an individual? Who is an individual human being? What is an individual human being? So any Vedantic text will make it very clear that every individual, from the standpoint of Vedanta Shastram, every individual human being is formed of five components. Every individual human being, you can say every individual human being is composite of two aspects. First, you can say every individual human being is a composite of two aspects. One is Atma aspect and Anatma aspect. Atma, Anatma, two aspects constitute an individual. It's one way of saying. Another way of saying is every individual is a composite of five aspects. Or you can say every individual consists of five aspects, five components. What are those five aspects which constitute the individual? See, I'm saying all these things very important. Remember them before we enter into understand the teaching of those three verses. Every individual is constituted of five components. What are they? First, gross physical body known as sthula shariram. The second component is subtle body or astral body known as sukshma shariram. The third aspect is the causal body known as karana shariram. So sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram. Gross physical body, subtle body or astral body and the causal body. Cause. And what are these three bodies? All these three bodies, the causal body is unmanifest. The causal body or the subtle body and the gross body, all these three bodies are material in nature. They are of the nature of inertness. All these three bodies are of the nature of inertness. They are products of matter. They are elemental products. Bodies are elemental products. All of them, all three are matter. And thereby inert in nature. So inert means they do not have, all these bodies do not have consciousness, sentiency of their own. They are of the nature of inertness. But still, if you see a live human being, a person, a human being who is alive, his body is conscious and sentient. Mind is conscious and sentient. Why? Because even the causal body enjoys the status of being existent because of the borrowed sentiency and consciousness. And this consciousness, sentiency, borrowed or enjoyed by this inert material body, mind, sense complex is said to be manifest consciousness. The consciousness enjoyed by this body mind sense complex is known as manifest consciousness. It's also said to be reflected consciousness, but Pujya Swamiji prefers manifest consciousness. That's why it's said to be Chidabhasaha. Chit means consciousness, abhasaha means manifestation or reflection. We can say chidabhasaha or pratibimba chaitanyam. Pratibimba means reflection of consciousness. Reflection of consciousness or manifestation of consciousness is it we what? Chidabhasaha or Pratibimba Chaitanyam. Okay. Now, the fourth aspect. What is the fourth aspect? The manifestation or reflection of consciousness obtaining in this body mind complex forms the fourth aspect. Okay. Now what is the fifth aspect? See, the body, mind, the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram, all three bodies or of or material products, therefore they are of the nature of inertness, but still they are alive and conscious because of the manifestation of consciousness, because of the reflection of consciousness. But means there must be there must be something else which must be of the nature of consciousness. There must be something else which must be of the nature of consciousness, source of consciousness, because of the association of which the body, mind, sense complex are capable of having the reflection or manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, the source of consciousness, the origin of consciousness is, not origin, the source of consciousness is the very reality, abstract, formless reality. The source of consciousness, which is of the nature of consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahman. That is the fifth aspect. So every individual being, human being, is what has Atma, the pure reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahman. And because of the presence of consciousness, and there is manifestation or reflection of consciousness, and because of which the body, mind, sense complex, the inert three bodies become conscious and sentient. Anyway, these five aspects together constitute an individual human being. In fact, not only human being, we can say all living beings are constituted of these five aspects. And especially a human being. Therefore, now, with this understanding, let us try to see what these three verses present. The teaching, what teaching these three verses present. So, here, the Sukshma Shariram, the Karna Shariram, and the Leela Stola Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, subtle body, the causal body, Karna Shariram, and Chidabhasaha. So, subtle body, causal body, and manifestation of consciousness. Okay, these three aspects together, given a technical, technically known as Jivatma. Okay, who is known as Jivatma? The Jivatma is a word, name attributed to what? What is that which is the meaning of the word Jivatma? So technically, subtle body, causal body, and manifestation of consciousness. Leaving the stola sharam away, leaving the consciousness, pure consciousness, and the gross body, you take the rest of the things, subtle body, causal body, subtle body, and manifestation of consciousness. These three aspects constitute Jivatma. Okay, hereafter Jivatma means what? The subtle body, having the manifestation of subtle body and causal body, having the manifestation of consciousness, alone gets the name Jivatma. In Vedanta Shastram, there are two groups of words, okay, which also must be remembered. In Vedanta Shastram, there are two groups of words. When I say two groups of words, means sometimes words mean the same always. Sometimes the words may give different meanings also. So if you say physical body or sthula shariram, the word sthula shariram will always mean the same. Sthula shariram, gross sthula shariram, the word sthula shariram will always mean only the gross physical body. And then we say sukshma shariram also will have what? Subtle body also will always have the same on the same meaning. It won't change. So sthula shariram, sukshma shariram means gross body and the subtle body. Suppose there is another set of words, those words will be used differently in the given context. I mean, in contextually, the word meanings will change. And if you go and search for the meanings of such words in the dictionary, you will not find it. Some words have a specific meaning in a specific mantra. And for the same word, another verse, it may give a different meaning also. So we must be careful here. Anyway, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, all these words are always used in the same. Sthula shariram means gross body. Sukshma shariram means subtle body. There's no difference. But the word jivaha, the word ishvaraha, the word brahman, maya, avyaktam, etc. In fact, may sometimes give different meanings in different contexts. When I'm teaching Mandukya Upanishad for people in Bahamas, the word maya, the word avyaktam, are all used in many different meanings. Anyway, we don't need to worry now. It will become much clearer. So now, in this mantra, we have to understand, in this first three mantras, jivatma means here, sukshma shariram, karna shariram, with manifestation of consciousness. So manifest subtle body, causal body, with manifestation of consciousness, together constitute jivatma. And a pure consciousness, the abstract formless reality which is of the nature of consciousness, the pure consciousness is here meant by the expression paramatma. Now, jivatma, paramatma. Who is jivatma? Who is paramatma? This explanation itself will make it very clear. Jivatma and paramatma are one and the same, non-different. One and the same means non-different, non-separate. The pure, the formless abstract reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, the pure consciousness, original consciousness is known as paramatma. So manifestation of consciousness and the manifesting medium, the subtle body and the causal body, constitute the jivatma. Pure consciousness is known as paramatma. Now you know four aspects of the individual. Therefore, now who is the one who enjoys the status of being the doer, enjoyer, knower, etc. You have to understand, it is this jivatma, okay? Jivatma alone enjoys the qualifications as karta, the doer, bhokta, the enjoyer, jnata, the knower. It is the jivatma alone is also known by the expression ahankaraha. Okay? Jivatma alone enjoys the status of being karta, doer, bhokta, enjoyer, jnata, knower, and ahankaraha also. Now, this is very important. So, all preparation for understanding the meaning of the verses. And it is this Jivatma Jivatma with the physical body. Now understand, this Jivatma with the physical body, with the help of the physical body, an abode of enjoyment. It is the Jivatma who enjoys the status of being the doer, enjoyer, knower, etc. with the help of the gross physical body. So, now Jivatma alone is involved in performance of all forms of activities. Jivatma alone is involved in knowing the external world of objects. So this Jivatma is capable of knowing external world of objects. The Jivatma is capable of performing many actions. As a human being, I mean, obtaining in a human physical form. Okay, this much you must understand. Now you know how all these five aspects which constitute the individual human being are. None of this, whatever I have said until now, is something new to you. All of you know all these aspects. Okay. If you know who is Jivatma and who is Paramatma and how Jivatma gets the qualifications of Karta, Bhokta, Jnata, Doer, Enjoyer, Knower, etc. Even Ahankara qualification, everything, only because of its identity and also only with the help of the Sthula Sharidam, gross body. See, the Jivatma is of course associated with the gross body, this physical body. Only when the Jivatma is in association with the physical body, then the free will becomes activated. We understand this Jivatma is also blessed with the free will. There's something called free will, the capacity to choose to do a given action, the capacity to choose to withdraw from a given action, that capacity to choose to do or to refrain is called free will. And Jivatma has his free will, but when does the free will become activated? The free will becomes active only when the Jivatma is in association with the physical body. See, in deep sleep state, even though Jivatma is there, present in the physical body, there is no connection. Because for connecting, there must be identity. In deep sleep state, Jivatma is present within the physical body, but there's no identity with the physical body. When the identity with the physical body is not there, free will also is not active. In the waking state, Jivatma is identified with the physical body. Jivatma is associated with the physical body. Then the free will also becomes active. Now, the question comes. There are living beings. Only in a human, the Jivatma obtaining within a human sharam alone has his free will activated when the Jivatma in association with the physical body. Okay, now it's a very important lesson. I hope you're all with me. So when this, if for the same Jivatma, same means the subtle body, causal body, with the manifestation of consciousness, obtaining within in a body, physical body of any other living creature. It can be a body of an animal or body of a plant. So sthavara shariram or mruga shariram, if it is, then the jivatma has got free will, but the free will becomes latent. Free will cannot be operated. The free will becomes dormant. Okay? In other living beings, the free will becomes dormant, latent. It is non-functional free will. Very important lesson. So free will is not absent, but free will is non-functional, dormant. Non-functionally dormant. If the physical body is of a human being, then the Jivatma's associational physical body contributes for what? The free will becoming active. The free will becomes functional, actively functional in a human shariram. So now the Jivatma accumulates punya papam. How Jivatma is involved in performance of activities as karta. Thereby, the results of actions become accumulated. So in keeping with the punyam or papam, in keeping the right or wrong action, the Jivatma performs right actions, wrong actions. Accordingly, Jivatma also accumulates punya papam. If the Jivatma makes use of the free will properly, then the Jivatma's actions must be in conformity with universal values. Then the Jivatma accumulates punyam as a result of his actions. If the Jivatma abuses the free will, unuses, abuses, misuses the free will, then the actions are against dharma values, the Jivatma accumulates papam. And where does this punya papam become accumulated? When you say Jivatma accumulates punya papam, but where do they remain stored? All the punya papams accumulated by the Jivatma remain stored in Karana Shariram, causal body. People ask, where do this punya papam go? All Shastra says, all punya papams of Jivatma remain collected, accumulated in the causal body, Karana Shariram. Okay. Then what happens? Every time the karmas or the results of punya papams are exhausted, every time or whenever a set of punya papams become exhausted, a set of punya papams in terms of prarabdha karma phalam. Now we all know what is prarabdha. I will not explain. Okay. The punya papams in one's account which are ready for fructification and which constitute the prarabdha karma phalam. So when this one set of karmas which are ready for fructification and which become exhausted as prarabdha karma phalam, the physical body becomes dropped. The physical body falls apart. okay, whenever one set of punya papams in terms of prarabdha karma phalani are exhausted, the physical body falls apart and the jivatma, the physical body becomes disintegrated. The jivatma, nothing happens to jivatma. Happily, jivatma assumes another physical body, which is jivatma, causal body, then subtle body with the manifestation of consciousness. This jivatma assumes another physical body. And again, suppose when the jivatma assumes another physical body, what body is it? Is it a human body, animal body, or tree body? That is determined by again the karma the jiva has in its account. Suppose if the next body the jivatma is going to assume is also a human body, again what will happen? The jivatma will be able to exhaust a next set of prarabdha, which is ready for fructification. So every time prarabdha is exhausted, jivatma leaves, physical body falls apart. Then next set of prarabdha will be ready, accordingly new body will be assumed. Again, one set of prarabdha karmas become exhausted. Again, that body goes. Again, new body will be assumed. Like this, continuously, there will be unendingly sanchitam karma. From there, set of karmas of prarabdha will be exhausted, assuming a new body. Okay. Now, imagine, suppose if the body assumed by this jivatma, a given jivatma, happens to be a body of an animal body, then listen, be careful, okay? If the jivatma assumes another body, which is a animal body, if a jivatma, without assuming an human body, the jivatma assumes an animal body, then jivatma will not be a karta again. Okay, jivatma will be only a bhokta. Please understand, jivatma assuming a body of any other living creature except a human being, jivatma will only be an enjoyer, only a bhokta. Okay, bhokta means what? Mostly, predominantly, jivatma obtaining in other bodies will only be the enjoyers, bhokta. There is no kartritvam, the jivatma obtaining in any other living body except the human body does not have the kartrutvam, the status of being the karta. Because even the kartrutvam will not be functional on the part of another living beings. Why? Because even the free will, an animal body, free will may not be there. Even if free will is there, it is not non-functional. Okay? In the animal body, free will is non-functional. Therefore, kartrutva, choice over actions is not there. Therefore, animals are all what? Programmed. And they do not have kartrutvam. Suppose the dog barks at you. The bark does not, there's no kartrutvam. You can say barker. Dog is a bark. You can't say because there's no kartrutvam. If a donkey kicks, you can't say donkey does the job of kicking. No. It's not a will involved action. It's a how you breathe, you inhale, exhale. Like the dog's kicking, dog's barking donkey's kicking is like that. Because will is non-functional, non-operational. Therefore, there's no doership on the part of animals. But animals have only enjoyership. Even there's no notion, I'm the enjoyer. There's no bhoktrutvam. Animals do not have bhoktrutvam, but animals are bhoktaraha. Animals are mere enjoyers of they only exhaust some karma. Bhokta means what? Animal life is only meant for exhausting some papa karma. There's no such a thing called accumulation of no punya papam on the part of any animal. No animal accumulates any punya papam. Animal life is lived only for exhausting some papa karma. There is no notion that I am the enjoyer on the part of the animal, but still animal is enjoyer of punya papams. Animal is only a bhokta, enjoyer of pains and pleasures. Okay. Now, how about the actions on the part of animals? All animals are involved in many activities, but all those actions are instinctive actions, programmed. Animals are programmed and their functions, their activities are very instinctive. Therefore, what? There's no doership. There's no karta at all. Because there's no notion, I am the doer. There's no karta. Therefore, what happens? They do not have will also operated in their bodies. Therefore, they do not accumulate any punyam or papa. So, any jivatma obtaining in an animal shariram does not accumulate no punya papams. Is not a doer who is capable of producing results. And similarly, who is a knower? Jnata. Jnata also is not at all functional. Even the status of being the knower is not there on the part of an animal. But animals do have knowledge. So there is a knower in all the living beings. See, without knower, there can't be living being at all. There is knower in all the living beings. But this knower status, the knowership also, knower also, is not fully functional. The knower is there on the part of other living beings. But the knower is not fully operational. The knower status is not fully functional. Which means, what does it mean? There is knowledge, a certain degree of knowledge on the part of all animals. That they animals are capable of recognizing their species. Capable of recognizing their own species. Capable of recognizing other things also. And thereby they can have sex and they can reproduce. They can contribute for the reproduction of their species. And they have hunger, they have thirst, and they can find their food. And they are blessed with the adik puja samjusha beautifully. All the living beings in this world are blessed with adequate knowledge to live its own life. Every creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its own life. A mosquito need not live a life of a donkey or a cat or an animal. Mosquito is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its mosquito life. So frog or cat or animal, elephant, every being, creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. Therefore, the knowledge is there, but it is not fully manifest. Because there's no such knowledge called knowledge of self-existence. Knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am is not manifest in all the animals. Therefore, they are not eligible to go and learn anything new in the world. So animals cannot be taught. Animals can be trained. They can be trained. No, that's called taming of the animals. And with little knowledge what they have, you can tame them, you can train them. We have dog schools and then they do all these things. But it is not possible for animals to go and learn more you can't send the animals to school and colleges, universities to study. Because there's no knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, they're not eligible to listen and understand and teach. But they have very little knowledge manifest, because of which you're able to tame them and train them. Okay. Which means what I want to say, there's only bhokta. In all the animals, bhokta alone is there, manifest. Which means this enjoyer status is possible. There's no karta status, there's no jnata status in other living beings. Whereas karta, jnata, bhokta, all these are possible only on the part of a human being. Okay. So therefore what? No animal accumulates any punya papam also. Okay. Now, let us understand here. These are all very important information we must know to understand the further teaching. See, the Jivatma alone, Atma does not go through pairs of experience, pairs of opposites. Atma does not go through the pairs of opposites. Atma does not have any punya papam. So physical body also is only an abode of enjoyment. And who is the one who is going through this experience of pairs of opposites? It is the Jivatma. It is the Jivatma alone goes through this experience of pairs of opposites. How repeatedly, life after life after life after life, living in one mother's womb, assuming a body, being born, going through the pairs of opposites, again in the Parabdha ends, again after the body falls apart, again assuming a new body, again going through the experience of pairs of opposites is only Jivatma. So, every time when the Parabdha Karma Palam gets exhausted, when we say the Jivatma leaves the physical body, which is said to be what? The death. So, when death happens, the Jivatma cannot have association with the physical body which gets dropped, which falls apart. I mean, the Jivatma will lose the physical body aspect. Jiva, the time of death, Jivatma will lose one of the five aspects is what? Physical body. Jivatma will lose this physical body. Then, who leaves? The Jivatma leaves physical body, falls apart, means the subtle body, causal body, and manifest consciousness or reflection of consciousness. Okay? These three aspects which constitute the Jivatma alone will travel after the fall of the physical body. Okay, now next question comes. There's a pralayam happens. When the pralayam happens, when the deluge happens also, the subtle body also dissolves. When at the time of deluge, at the time of dissolution, subtle body also dissolves. Dissolves means what? Remains resolved. Okay. When the subtle body also dissolves, then there must be something which continue, which must continue to be there. What is that? In Mahab, when the pralayam happens, subtle body also dissolves, but what continues to be there without getting dissolved is causal body and manifestation of consciousness. Is it clear? The causal body and manifestation of consciousness. If you put it, Karana Shariram and Chidabhasaha. Karana Shariram and Chidabhasaha. These two aspects will continue to be there with what? With all the accumulated punya papams. So even when the pralayam happens, subtle body also dissolves. Subtle body dissolves means what? Not the karana shariram, okay? The karana shariram, from the jivatma aspect, subtle body dissolves, but causal body and reflection of consciousness, manifest consciousness, with all the accumulated punya papams continue to exist. When they remain, they do not become dissolved. So what about this fifth aspect? The pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is absolutely eternal. No birth, no death. Consciousness, pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma, does not have birth or death, and consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore it cannot move, it's unmoving, therefore there's no such a thing called journey or travel on the part of consciousness. Now you know who travels. Physical body falls apart at the time of death, subtle body alone travels. Assuming a new body, again it will be born. This is called travel, isn't it? What is travel? Sukshma leaves one physical body and goes to mother's womb, again assumes another body, again is born. This is called travel. Traveling from one mother's womb to another mother's womb. But when pralayam happens, at the time of pralaya, sukshma shariram also dissolves. What continues to exist is the karana shariram and chidabhasaha with all the accumulated karma palani, results of actions. So, but Atma, the pure consciousness, of course, is free from birth and death. And we know very well, we've understood, consciousness is how all pervasive, one secondless, etc. We understood already. Conscious, pure consciousness cannot travel, cannot move an inch, always, beginninglessly, endlessly, timelessly, all pervasively, changelessly, unmovingly, immobily, consciousness is, which is implied by the term Atma or Brahman. Okay, with this understanding, now let us understand this. Every individual human being is constituted, composite of these five aspects. We can say Atma, Anatma, two aspects. There Atma, the pure consciousness. Then we have, if we take the five, if the individual is understood to be of five components, you can say the Atma, the pure consciousness, then there's manifestation of consciousness, then manifesting medium in the form of subtle body, then causal body, subtle body, then gross body. Five aspects. Okay, now leaving all this behind, let us remember only these two words, Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma and Paramatma. Before I take you to the actual verses, words of the verse, mantras, you need to be prepared with understanding of all these things. Okay. See, Jivatma and Paramatma are there. So what is Jivatma? It does not forget causal body, subtle body, with manifestation of consciousness together constitute Jivatma. And Paramatma means pure consciousness. Okay, with this understanding, if we go back to our mantras, okay, the mantras of the first section of the third mundakam. Okay. So in these mantras, actually, Upanishad presents a comparison. Presents a similar comparison. Here, physical body, the gross physical body is likened to one tree. Likened to a tree. Compared to a tree. Physical body is compared to a tree. And what is that word there? Let us see the mantra. Let us remember the mantra now. Dvasa suparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham. Please note the word vriksham. Vriksham parishasva jate. Dvasa suparna sayuja sakhaya samanam vriksham parishasva jate. That the word vriksham. Vrikshaha means tree, and vriksham is the objective case form of the word vrikshaha. And what does that tree refer to? In fact, the gross physical body is compared to a tree. Okay. Why? Because the tree has, please listen, the tree first is in the form of a seed. The tree, now I'm explaining to you why physical body is likened to a tree. See, the tree first, before becoming a tree, it must have been a small plant. It must have been a sapling. Even originally, the tree must have been in the form of a seed. Then the seed alone must have germinated. The sprout must have come out. Then it must have become a small plant. And a small seedling, sapling, and must have grown into a small plant. Then again it must have, grown into a huge tree. And then what happens? The tree also, after many, many, many years, the tree also fades. The tree also falls apart. Tree also dies. Similarly, even the trees had much longer life. Still, tree also, sometimes after long time, the tree also dies. But by then it would have contributed for the production of many, many trees. So physical body also is in the form of ovum, sperm in father's body. The physical body also originally is in the form of a sperm in father's body. Then it is in mother's womb with a new name as ovum. And then it grows, becomes full-fledged body. Then it is born. It is born and it goes through physical body after birth. Physical body also goes through different stages. Goes by childhood, youthhood, then old age. Then physical body also falls apart. Therefore, physical body is compared to a tree. Okay? This is the why physical body is compared to a tree. This is the reason. Now, the Jivatma is the indweller of the physical body, isn't it? Jivatma, the physical body is the external layer of personality. And the Jivatma is indweller of the physical body. And the Jivatma indwelling the physical body. Indwelling the physical body remaining enclosed within the gross physical body is compared to a bird, pakshi. Okay, jivatma is compared to a bird. Now, you would ask, why jivatma is compared to a bird? Because any bird, usually we see a bird goes and perches on a tree. A bird is perched on a tree. And similarly here, this jivatma who is compared to a bird also is perched on the tree called body. And what does the bird do? The bird will not have any attachment to only one tree. I like only this tree. I want to be in this tree itself. No. Jivatma is the bird. The bird has no attachment to any tree. The bird will go, whichever tree has a fruit, that bird will go. Similarly, here, the jivatma is never sitting only on the same tree always. The bird will get up and fly away. It will fly off to another tree. So the bird, how long a bird will be there? Any bird can be attracted towards a given tree only as long as it bears fruits. When the fruit season is over, or the tree does not yield fruits anymore, then the bird will not come to that tree. It will go to another tree. Similarly here also, the Upanishad beautifully says, this jivatma is like a bird, okay, which is perched on the tree called physical body. Okay, and with this jivatma, this jivatma is like a bird, tree is like a physical body, and along with this bird called jivatma, there is also another bird. So Upanishad presents one bird as jivatma, and sitting on the tree called physical body, and there is also another bird, and another bird symbolizes Paramatma. Another bird symbolizes Paramatma. It is Paramatma, the bird symbolizing Paramatma. Who is Paramatma? Paramatma is the pure, all-pervasive, timeless, unmoving, immobile consciousness. Implied by the term Paramatma is also symbolized by another bird. Because you know, see, if there's a reflection of something, source of reflection must be there. If there's manifestation of something, the source of manifestation must be there. Therefore, if this one bird stands for jivatma, and that because which jivatma, which is subtle body, causal body, and also manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, there must be source of the consciousness, and a source of consciousness, source of manifestation of consciousness, Paramatma is symbol also likened to another bird there. Now you understand the one bird symbol, one bird which stands for pure consciousness, the source of manifestation of consciousness, Paramatma bird. Another bird stands for the reflection of consciousness with subtle body and causal body, this jivatma. And the tree stands for gross body. Now you see that tree and two birds stand for five aspects of an individual human being. Is it clear? The tree with the two birds stand for All five aspects together stand for what now? The five aspects which constitute the individual human body, human being, live human being. It must be very clear by now. Okay. Now, what Upanishad says, the pure consciousness is distinct from the manifestation of manifest consciousness. So that pure consciousness is compared to another bird, and one bird stands for subtle body and the tree stands for gross physical body. So now this bird symbolizes the bird which stands for Jivatma, the bird which stands for Paramatma, these birds sitting on the tree, perched on the tree. Now, let us understand here again, we must see that how there are common features. Common features are there, they're also differences. They also have got the different features, contrasting features. What are the features which are common and what are the features which are different? Okay, you can say between the birds, okay, between these two birds, the two birds, one bird symbolizes Jivatma, another bird stands for Paramatma, means the two birds, they can't be the same. There must be some similar features. There must be some contrast features between these two birds. Okay. Now, both the birds are very bright. Why? Because manifestation is also of consciousness. The pure consciousness is brilliance. And manifestation is of consciousness, therefore both are bright. Both birds are bright because consciousness and the manifestation of consciousness. Same. Same means they are the same nature. See, the original sun in the sky is bright, and the sun reflected in the water also is bright because reflection of the bright sun. So here the manifestation is of the pure consciousness. Therefore, the manifestation also is of the nature of illumining. The pure consciousness is of the nature of illumining. Therefore, the manifestation of consciousness also is of the nature of illumining. Therefore, they both are said to be bright. And because the pure consciousness is chit, chaitanyam, and reflection of consciousness is what? Chidabhasaha. Chit and chidabhasaha. So illumination is the common feature of both pure consciousness and manifestation of consciousness. Illumination is the nature of Chit and Chidabhasaha. Okay. Now, who are these two birds? And these two birds alone are meant by the word Suparna. In fact, you must take it as Suparnau. When you are reading, please see the word now. Dvasuparna. Actually, Dvau Suparnau. Don't change the words in the mantra. For understanding, you must take as Dva means Dvau, Suparnau. Dvau Suparnau means two birds. Why a bird is called Suparnaha? I'll explain later on. Now understand, Jivatma bird and Paramatma bird, both birds are of the same nature of illumining, the common feature, And those two words are implied, meant by the expression dvau suparnau. Dvau suparnau. But in Veda mantra, dva suparna. Okay. And these suparnau, dvau suparnau, these two birds, which are of the same feature, nature of illumining, also have some contrasting features. Now, the contrasting features are, this Jivatma bird has what? Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Jnatrutvam. Jivatma bird has doership, enjoyership, and knowership. Jivatma is Karta, doer. Jivatma is Bhokta, enjoyer. And Jivatma is knower. Yes, knower, enjoyer, and doer. Even though Jivatma is Karta, Bhokta, Jnata, now in this mantra, two factors, two aspects associated with Jiva alone will be highlighted. That is Kartrutvam aspect and Bhoktrutvam aspect of Jivatma alone will be highlighted here for a given purpose. You will understand why. Okay, Jivatma is Karta, Jivatma is Bhokta. Therefore, Jivatma alone can accumulate Punya Papam. Jivatma alone has to go through the experience of pains and pleasures. Okay? Jivatma is Karta. Therefore, Jivatma can perform actions, will, make use of the will, perform actions. Thereby, Jivatma can accumulate Punya Papam. Therefore, Jivatma alone, later on, as Bhokta, goes through the experience of pairs of opposites. Okay. So this Jivatma alone is, now Jivatma alone is Karta, Jivatma alone is Bhokta, Jivatma accumulates Punya Papam, Jivatma exhausts Punya Papam. Therefore, Jivatma alone has to go through life of transmigration, moving from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, known as samsaraha. So Jivatma alone has to go through this life of transmigration, going from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, known as samsaraha. Okay. Now, this another bird, what about other bird? That Paramatma bird, Paramatma is free from doership and enjoyership. There is no notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer and the part of consciousness. Therefore, Paramatma is neither Karta nor Bhokta. Without Paramatma, there cannot be Karta or Bhokta. But Paramatma is neither Karta nor Bhokta. So pure consciousness does not have will, does not do any karma, does not have any desire, does not exhaust any punya papam, does not accumulate any punya papam. But all this is possible because of the blessing of Paramatma. Blessing means presence of Paramatma. It is purely because of the mere present sannidhi matrena, because of the mere presence of Paramatma, the consciousness, okay, it is possible for the Jivatma to exist, to enjoy consciousness, to enjoy sentiency, to have the status of being the Karta, Bhokta, etc. But Paramatma, pure consciousness by itself, is absolutely free from Kartrutvam, doership, enjoyership, etc. It is Paramatma which is of the nature of self-existence, lends existence, consciousness and sentience to Jivatma. as like the cause lending existence to the effect. Okay, now the Satchidananda Atma by its mere presence, Satchidananda Atma, otherwise said to be Paramatma, lends consciousness and sentience existence to the Jivatma. Therefore, Paramatma is neither Karta nor Bhokta, neither the performer nor the enjoyer. Therefore, Paramatma does not accumulate any Punya Papam. There is no such a thing called Agami Karma, Sajita Karma, Parabdha Karma. All these karmas are not there for Paramatma. Paramatma is ever free, never bound. Okay, now with this understanding, Upanishad wants to say that this Jivatma will be a samsari. The Jivatma will continue to be in this life of transmigration. How long will this Jivatma continue to be in this life of transmigration? Moving from one mother's womb to another mother's womb, it is said, unless and until this Jivatma recognizes its swarupam being Paramatma. Unless and until Jivatma recognizes the pure consciousness Paramatma as its own swarupam, Jivatma will continue to be a samsari. See, unless and until the Jivatma understands pure consciousness as its source of existence, the Jivatma, there will be error in perception of Jivatma. The Jivatma will mistake itself to be a physical body. The Jivatma, unless and until the Jivatma recognizes its swarupam being Paramatma, unfortunately, Jivatma will have wrong identity with the physical body. Jivatma remaining in between physical body and consciousness has the choice of recognizing its swarupam being Paramatma, or without recognizing its swarupam, Jivatma has a choice of having wrong identity with the physical body. The fifth aspect. Therefore, so as long as it doesn't recognize, it has identity with the physical body, it mistakes itself to be, the Jivatma mistakes itself to be a physical body, then it will continue to be in samsara. And what is the body? Of course, body is of the nature of sixfold. You all know very well. Shad vikaravan dehaha. Shad vikaravan dehaha. The body is subject to sixfold modifications. You know, asti jayate vardhate viparimnamate apakshiyate nashyati. It is there, it is born, it grows, metamorphoses and decays and goes old, it falls apart. This is the unchangeable nature of the physical body, any material form. Therefore, as long as this Jivatma identifies itself with the Parama, this physical body, not knowing its own swarupam, then Jivatma has to go through samsara. Now, it's time. Lot of preparation. The mantra is very important mantras. So anyway, tomorrow we have class. So tomorrow, the unfoldment of three mantras together will be completed. We'll see that. Is it clear now? So we'll see tomorrow. In tomorrow's class, I will go through the mantras. I have to make you understand each and every word here. So you have to learn today Vriksham, Suparnav, those Suparnav. After explaining, I can finish the mantra very quickly. Nothing much. It's okay. Tomorrow I'll see you. It's okay. Don't miss the class, tomorrow's class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.